Hello and welcome to season 4, episode 12 of The Dive. I am Kobe, joined by Azale and Mark Z. And we literally just finished the TSM versus 100 Thieves banger of a series. Went all five games, ending with a 200 HP Zoe finishing off a Nexus.
Yeah, that was a crazy, crazy series. I admit my brain's a little fried coming off because it was such a long series. And like, I can't remember, like I went back and I was like, what did they even play in like game one? What champs are they playing? I had to like go back to the pick band right now, actually look at it.
To be fair, Broken Blade got interviewed right after and he didn't even remember what they had played. So we're all in the same boat on that one. It was crazy though, how back and forth it was. Some pretty, I mean, really you can't ask for a closer series, right? You know, you could be unhappy as a fan of one team or the other that they didn't dominate, but it's just like a fan of the game. It was really fun to see the battle back and forth and see how quickly it became this really hotly contested series in game five. Could have gone either way. I mean, Bjergsen gets that final auto and I think they would have lost if he actually dies on that push there. If he gets finished off before he can finish it, Broken Blade said he thought the same thing. You know, it would be hard to know without like really like VOD reviewing it and kind of breaking it down. But damn, that is a close finish.
Yeah, especially after we had series like the FlyQuest versus Golden Guardians, where it's just a like this one. This
Get
game
my
was
game.
This one was not mistake free. There were lots of mistakes, but since they're like both sides and it kept on going back and forth and getting down to the end, it did remind me of how much I miss best of five series and playoffs format and intense moments like that.
Yeah. I it was the first five game one of the playoffs so far. EG versus Fly was 4-game series. Obviously C900 Thieves was 3 games. So it was super hype. I do admit that I was a little bummed that, like, you know, you don't have that like roaring crowd pop-off shot thing that, you know, like I definitely felt that a little bit, but it was still pretty nuts just to like go onto social media and just see it like, because now everyone's in front of their computer. So every single person who is watching just instantly tweets. It was pretty sick.
I mean, they're definitely great games, but yeah, of course, that's the elephant in the room. It's not going to be the same, right? Nothing is the same right now. You know, it's a global pandemic. Mm. The world has changed and LCS has changed alongside it. And, you know, I'm really happy that we have been able to continue our league. And I'm proud of the fact that I feel the show has leveled up each week, you know, containing more graphics and rollouts and all these different things that are getting added to it, which I think, you know, production team is kicking ass with. But yeah, of course it's not the same and it's different for the players too. And it's interesting because, you know, for some players, people are talking about, okay, well maybe I'm going to be playing a little bit too loose because, you know, I'm not like having that crowd there and it feels more like how it feels when I'm scrimming. And then other players have told me that like, hey, this is actually perfect because now I can play at my true peak level because I'm not like freaking out because there's a crowd there and because I'm out of my comfort zone, right? So you get a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. And I do think we have seen, you know, some players really kind of shine, right? You know, I think notably in a loss, Ryoma did a lot better, I think, today than people were expecting. People were expecting to come out and get absolutely trashed. And he had a couple hard carry games. He stood up to Bjergsen well overall in the series. Mark, you laughing? You laughing?
Your cat is so cute. Sorry. Yeah. He's like attacking.
I think both of us were just kind of like smile and nod at what Azale is saying, just looking at the cat.
I don't know what Azale's ever saying. He's just looking at his animals.
His fun's spazzing out. Every once in a while, he does this thing where he just starts attacking the bed and he'll just zooming back and forth.
He only did like one little hop.
He's pretty chill right now, actually. Pretty chill.
I don't know. Mine's in full loaf mode.
I'm honestly hating doing these shows more and more now just because every show is filled with every other person having these lovable pets.
Oh, come here, buddy. Oh, there we go. Now we got two.
Just full loaf mode.
Yeah. I'll see if I can. Daisy, you want to come up here too? Daisy.
Oh, my God.
We're derailing too hard.
She's lazy. She's not going to come, but she'll chill.
Anyway, those of us without pets have just been spamming Valorant.
You can call Travis over. Travis, come here, boy.
Roll over.
Feed him a snack. You know, you're holding out a burrito or something.
Yeah, Valorant, huh?
Yeah, they want us. I mean, have you guys been playing it at all? I think I saw Azale on there. I've been spamming. I never played CS growing up or anything. I'm not that great at shooters. And I play a lot of video games, so I'm okay. But it's really fun. I had a lot of fun just because it's all normal games right now. Yeah. It's kind of that like Fortnite syndrome where there's no rank. So you can either pop off super hard and there are games where I'm having a ton of fun and I got 20 kills. And then the next game, there's a guy with an op that knows how to use it. And yeah. I have no idea what's going on with any of these angles. And you're just walking around, boom, boom.
That's my strategy. If my team has one of those guys who is popping off and hitting, you know, triples and quads every single round, I just start following that guy around on stage. And I'm like, hello, I'm here to heal and rescue. And so I just become their little like.
Did someone shoot you? Here you go.
Oh, no, get away from him. Throw slow. Yeah, I've been playing. I played a lot last night. I'll be playing a lot more over the coming days now that we're finally off for a couple in a row, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, I've been playing too, not a ton. I mean, we haven't really had a lot of time, right? I was on show yesterday, today, and whatnot. I think I've played maybe 5 games or something like that. I used to play a ton of CS, but that was legitimately like 15, 16 years ago, right? So it basically doesn't even count. You know, people ask me if I play CS, I'm like, do I? Because I never touched CSGO. I always played back in like 1.4, 1.6 days. Mm-hmm. But it is a lot of fun. And yeah, I mean, when you get a really, really good player in your game, you know that you suck. You know that person is better than you. Maybe you're going to deny it the first round or two, be like, hey, you got lucky. You know, you caught me looking the wrong way. But I played my first game. You guys know Nick Wu, right? And he's actually having a show match later against Shroud and all these people.
He's super good.
Like he was like global elite level, you know, basically challenger in CS, and he is a dev on Valorant and has been playing every day for years. So he's insane. And you know, I played a game with him and his MMR was very clearly different than what mine was. We'll put it that way. And some of the people in that game were just like, your head is on the screen for a millisecond and you are a headshot. You get behind the box, you're a headshot through the box. It's just like, oh, okay. You know, I was feeling pretty good about myself after a couple of games where I was like MVP, top fragger, you know, 25 kills, 28 kills. And then I was in that game and I'm like sitting like 3-14 or something. I'm like, oh God, get me out, dude. Put me back in bronze.
Yeah, that's definitely like, you always, I don't know what it is, like the first couple of games, you feel like you're vibing yourself so well. And then you start playing with your friends and suddenly it's so much harder. I'm like top fragging. None of the people I was playing with last night were even good. It was like Travis and other people. Mm-hmm. Still, as soon as we group up, we all start getting slammed.
I think it matches you against other groups. You're more likely to be playing against good players probably if they even have a squad.
I'm right. Solo then.
Yeah. I mean, solo is probably going to give you a better chance. But Valorant popping off, it's pretty exciting to see, you know, another game coming out from Riot. Obviously, a couple now, you know, Legends of Runeterra is out there in the wild too. So that's really exciting. And I think we're all going to be playing that. My report and honor, I can start us off this week here. My report is going to be people who are dodging the game. So, I've heard this is a bit of a topic in the community. I haven't been following the Reddit discussion, but if you ever play League with me, you know that I get infuriated when there's the last second dodge. When you sit through a full champ select, you're down to the last couple seconds and someone dodges. I think that dodge timer, I mean, this is probably too extreme, but like it needs to be much longer the later you dodge in champ select. That is how I have always seen it. You know, there are issues because sometimes people are holding champs like hostage and things like that. And that's tough to solve for, but it's frustrating to me that one person can waste the other 9 people's time. And it's like, you know, 8-10 minutes or whatever, you get through this whole thing and then you're dodge last second and it's just right back to start.
Yeah. It's super frustrating because you're wasting so much more. Your time is multiplied by 9, exactly 9 other people. But the other thing that you mentioned where there are some more complicated things where we've got these other problems of, oh, there's trolls and people that are going to say, oh, if you don't trade me this role, then, oh, we're going to lose anyways. I'm Ben's playing. Mid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And they can do it in ways that don't make it obvious to ban where they're just like, oh, well, okay, then I'm just going to play for fun. So they still like choose a real champion and real summoner spells and stuff. But then in the game, they very clearly don't. I don't know. So, I mean, ideal scenario, we can ban or get stricter punishments on both cases. So the people that are trying to hold your champ select hostage have stricter punishments. And then it makes it easier for us to also have stricter punishments for the dodging.
Smack them with the 45 minute dodge timer when they dodge last second. Get out of there. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, would you rather have more dodges or more trolls if you could only get like eliminate one of them?
I mean, more, of course. Yeah. Nobody's going to want more trolls.
But the problem isn't that people are dodging just for trolls, right? People often just dodge because they don't like the comp.
Yeah.
They don't like, you know, oh, this person counterpicked me, I'm going to dodge. Oh, this person got Riven, I don't want to play against Riven. You know, I got jungle. Maybe next game I could get mid though. So I'm just going to dodge last second if no one will trade me. You know, there's so many just crap reasons I think that people dodge. And that's what can really artificially inflate the kind of time it takes to get into the game. Because, you know, I have days sometimes where I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, sweet. I got 2 or 3 hours to play League. Sometimes you'll get two games in because you're just sitting in a long queue and then there's dodges and then maybe you have a remake. And like those days feel bad. And being able to cut down on that would be great.
Yeah. Most of the time people are just talking a big game too in Champ Select with like, I'll do this and I'll int. It's like, you probably won't, honestly.
I usually call those people, but then I usually regret it.
If you call them on it, then they'll actually do it. But if you just like, okay, yeah, we'll play, then they don't.
Yeah. What's your honor?
All right, my honor is going to be Ryoma, because I think you were going to do the same honor as me, so I decided to change it up. And I think Ryoma, you know, is actually deserving. I saw a Twitter question. I don't think we're going to hit it later, but it was basically, you know, do you think Ryoma deserves his LCS spot? I think definitively yes. I do think that there has been significant improvement throughout the split, and that is something that I'm excited to see. You know, an OC import, a lot of debate about, you know, should it have been Demonte getting a spot or whoever else or Pobelter at the start of the split. I think Ryoma has been good. I think he turned in some really impressive games today against Bjergsen, who, yes, wasn't the best mid laner this year, but historically has been in NA. And, you know, Ryoma is just kind of improving over and over, it feels like. And I'm excited to see where this guy is now in a year or two. And, you know, I was very unsure coming into the split on him. So he's converted me at least a bit. And I want to see where he can get to.
The Orianna game with like 10 kills that he got. Looking pretty good right there.
All right. That's not bad. I'll keep it going with my honor then on another mid laner. I'm going PoE.
Yeah, that was going to be mine, but that was the easy one. You know, that was the layup.
I had Ryoma first, and then you took him, so I was like, well, I guess I'll go PoE.
Spoiler, mine were also Power of Evil.
Oh, so I had Kobe downloaded, but I didn't read Mark having Ryoma.
I'm the mix-up. PoE, I mean, obviously the Golden Guardian series, he was popping off super hard, but even just the one against EG, he actually played really well too against Jizuke, who I believe was the second all pro.
He was.
And then, like he was incredible in the Azir. They were ganking his lane. They were finding these picks on him, and they couldn't win the series due to some probably worse macro or team coordination, as well as we can talk about, and I'm sure we'll get into later, the actual substitution situation in the top lane. But individually, he has played so well in playoffs. He's probably been, I mean, it's hard to say with C9, but outside anyone on C9, the best player in playoffs so far.
Yeah, and my reasoning was also that at the end of the split, when FlyQuest started dropping a lot of these games and people started to lose faith in Power of Evil, a lot of the instances were there were scenarios that were set up that I wouldn't attribute to his fault and then would lead to him having a worse time in the game and having more problems to deal with. And so I felt like there was a lot of stuff building up where people are like, ah, he's not that good anymore. But he got to show on stage this resurgence and kind of prove that it wasn't a decline in his skill. So I was
his teammates' fault. I can relate to that. That's how it is for me. Every time I queue up, these goddamn junglers into my lane make it so I can't win with 1v1.
You like my phrasing? There were some scenarios that came up that led to
some strange occurrence.
Some optimal situations here. Like his jungler running into the tower and giving over double buffs.
So then my report is actually our host of the LCS Dash. When the show was ending, you know, the prompter scrolled to be the end of day thing, and he starts launching into like 3 or 4 questions that just like 20 minutes ago at all of us to like keep talking. It's like, Dash, get me out. I have to do the dive. We have other things to do. And he just kept talking. This is a personal grievance I'm filing against Dash.
He's just feeling lonely because all the social distancing. He wasn't ready to say goodbye.
Yeah.
Normally I like talking. I like when he asks the questions at the end. Not this time.
Yeah. Can we get like can we have a hug after every diver episode or something now for some fake ass social distancing? A little come together. I'm feeling better now.
The thing is, I think we've tried to do high fives before, but then they move us around from what our meeting is to what it actually goes out on the YouTube video.
True. This is for personal use though, because right now what I'm seeing, they're all connected. I'm in the
middle. All right, you got a report for us, Kobe?
I'll move from reporting my ISP to reporting Spectrum because they're pissing me off now. So
name dropping them now. Here we go.
Get them. Names. And I honestly just think it's ridiculous because they are overselling on their infrastructure and they have more houses connected to this node than it is made for. And now that everyone is actually home and using it, they can't deliver on their advertised bandwidth. So that's
that ain't right.
Infuriating. But our honors were already all the same. So
yeah, I mean
mid laners. I'm switching mine then. Since you took the other one and switched it over to the one that Mark took and then he took mine.
Bjergsen.
I'm doing another mid laner. This is playoff mid laners episode because Bjergsen just saved TSM's ass probably six times over in that series.
The Cody Sun one was the big save at the soul
prevention.
Yeah,
that was huge. But yeah, a lot of mid laners showing up big. Turns out it's a pretty good role in League of Legends. And man, Kobe, I'm definitely feeling bad for you with the internet issues. I have Spectrum too, and I've had some issues, but I upgraded, and I mean, thankfully my internet has been hanging on enough. But still, yeah. I mean, I'm getting maybe 10%. Of the upload that I'm supposed to be getting, right? And a lot of people are getting less than that because they're overselling, and that's something that airlines do too.
I was about to mention airlines,
where have you ever shown up for those flights and then you don't have a seat even though you bought a seat, and it's like, excuse me, like isn't that illegal? It's like overselling this.
What's going on here? Is that how transactions work? Or you give me something, I give you something.
Yeah.
Let's go back to bartering.
Exactly.
Mark, was that you?
Materials-based bartering system. I'll give you three Starbucks cappuccinos and my hat for a plane ticket.
No deal. No deal on that one.
All right. Playoffs moving forward. Our next matchup's coming up this weekend, as we are going to be off for a couple days now, is going to be Cloud9 and EG. That's the number one and number two seeds duking it out. The big honchos there. Do you think that EG really has any chance?
Nope. It's boomed.
That's like a 2%er for me.
So follow up then. Does anyone have any chance?
That's like... talking about the field bet again because we're bringing back from like
Mark
six
gave me 3-1 odds. And those
I
were
gave
seeming
him 3-1.
Those were seeming really good a while ago, and now I'm like, did I get scammed?
That was like week 4-3. When did I do that?
You thought you were pretty 5-head with that, with taking that bet, but I like the Cloud9 side.
Crap, man.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably get into all the teams, but no one has looked anywhere near that level. The only instance was FlyQuest versus Golden Guardians. Mm-hmm. But that was
it felt like punching down.
Yeah, that was not like we are so dominant. It was like, oh, Golden Guardians, they're hot and cold, and this is a cold day.
Yeah, it is rough, but I mean, we are looking at, you know, this matchup. Obviously it's going to be coming up on Saturday, and while I think everyone, it feels like for the most part, is pretty much on the same page, I've seen some TSM fans saying they think that they can beat C9, but that's really even on social. The only people I'm seeing even kind of like vocalize that they think anyone can beat C9. So they are obviously a heavy favorite. I will say at the very least there is kind of the X factor with EG. There is, you know, Jisuke and his ability to kind of make games about him and his lead. And he plays in a different style than a lot of the other mid laners, right? He likes to play these side lane style, 1-3-1 type champions, you know, the Ryze, the Echo, and things like that. So you know, if I'm EG and if really if I'm anyone preparing for Cloud9, I am looking for atypical matchups. I am looking for hard counters in lane. I'm looking to surprise Cloud9 and try to do something to throw them off their game and create an advantage from that. And beyond that, you have to execute really well to have a chance of it even working. But I just think you cannot go into this series and be like, all right, Aatrox, Varus, Tahm Kench, Orianna, and we'll grab a Sejuani and expect to win. It's gotta be spicy.
And I don't think there's any chance that EG go at it that way of the default Orianna or anything. Because the other thing about Jizuke is that not only does he play side lanes, but he forces trades more than all the other mid laners have been doing in Spring Split. And he talked about this in multiple interviews, how he felt like he was crazy as the only one looking to actually build a mid lane advantage rather than, you know, farm or roam. I would say, though, that Niski, from my opinion, it has definitely been doing that. So, you know, maybe he hadn't had a lot of scrims versus Niski, or maybe Cloud9 was, you know, practicing someone else, because Niski for sure, to me, is a perfect matchup right there, because he goes just as hard and he's got Blabber behind him. So that's why I'm really excited for this matchup, because so much of it to me does revolve around this firepower and like who's going to call chicken first.
Who's got the bigger guns?
Who's pulling out first? Because both of them seem like they want to create those early leads for themselves and then use those for victory. Even though they're using them for victory in slightly different ways, they still need to make them in the same way.
Yeah, I think to go back to Azale's point a little bit about the draft, the problem is, compared to some other teams, is they are also some of the most creative drafters in the league on C9's side. So, you know, it's like, oh, we got to pull some crazy stuff out so we can find these matchups that are good for us. But you don't, like, was anyone prepping Hecarim counter picks or anything? You know, like,
Hecarim is the counter pick.
Yeah, exactly. Quinn. They got Kindred. They have such deep champion pools on C9 that, like, if it comes to, like, you know, keep drawing cards until you're out, like, I'm pretty sure C9 have a bigger, more stacked deck than everyone else.
So the one thing I will say, though, is if you go red side, you can have... You can have the counter pick, right? And that's where it has to come down to. And we have seen, you know, a little bit of back and forth, you know, a lot of teams preferring blue side, but some teams preferring red, even in this TSM 100 Thieves series that did just happen. I believe TSM actually chose red for the final game, if I'm recalling that correctly.
I think it was the fourth game. Because
they were down 2-1, of course. Mm-hmm. So, but either way, you know, there has been some back and forth on it. And I do think that against Cloud9, maybe that's one of the teams that you actually want to go for red side on. If you feel that you can actually look for a strong counter pick, it's probably not going to be about Kumo versus Licorice. It's got to be something, I think, around mid lane, you know, or mid jungle 2v2. And it's also really interesting to me to see how quickly things have kind of changed in the LCS that, you know, when we're talking about having the bigger guns coming out of the jungle and the backup, everyone kind of is favoring Blabber now, when just a year ago, well, not even like 6 months ago, Svensgarin is the Honda MVP. Blabber is playing an academy under him. And now everyone's like, yeah, take Blabber any day.
Well, I seem to remember having this discussion with Jat about how can you be the MVP if you get benched? Mm-hmm. And he was like, you can't. And I was like, no, you could still get benched if you're the MVP of the league. If the guy behind you
is Blabber, the super MVP.
Exactly. And turns out there's a good reason. There was a good reason for benching the MVP of the league at the time, because Blabber, you know, maybe just needed a little bit more stage time. He has completely worked out, hindsight 2020 and all. But I think, yeah, there is no soul that you could find right now that would argue for the Svensgarin side of this matchup over Blabber, considering the season that they've had.
Well, and that's why this, I think, is a really hype playoff series for me. Is not like I think it's going to be close, because I don't quite think that. But I am excited to see C9 versus C9 2.0, I guess, or I guess I don't know what it would be. But
social media calls it C9 and C9 Dark, or C9 Light.
C9 Dark, yeah, something like that. Either way, I'm super stoked just to see like the rematch, Zazel versus Vulcan. Because Zazel took a beating early in the split when Vulcan joined and they were popping off, everyone, and you know, EG was kind of in their slump. Everyone's like, oh, Azazel's super overrated. His laning phase sucks. This just shows that, like, this is why they couldn't play around bot lane. And he, you know, had a great second half of the split. And so that Kumo and Sven Skarren kind of getting a revenge grudge match against the people who you've been replaced by is really cool. I don't know if they'll be able to actually win, but you can win your position battle. Maybe you can win your matchup if you can't win the series.
I also really like how Jack has been spamming the, like, no trade backs or no refunds yeah. and that type of stuff. I feel like there's going to be a lot going into this grudge match. Unfortunately, Jack also has the way better team, so he's allowed to talk trash as much as he wants.
He's trash talking from a position of power right now. You know, he's getting some jabs in on Steve, you know, it's not what you say, it's what you do, and like all that. And, you know, the Steve clip from Hotline League.
Oh yeah. They have fun with that.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish, you know, all that kind of stuff. So they're getting their shots in and rightfully so. Cause I mean, TL has been crushing for a long time. Right. So they didn't really get a chance to kind of take those shots at TL until
it's been boiling up for a while. He could let it out now.
They had all these tweets saved in draft, just like Mark against Golden Guardians.
I was like, am I going to bring this up now or when we talk about FlyQuest? I'll bring it up now. I said it on JLXP on Monday when we recorded that. I was like, if Golden Guardians lose, like, I'm definitely going to, you know, clap back a little bit, because I love, like, that kind of banter. And like, I thought that video that they made was really funny. I retweeted it, I commented on it, and then, you know, but you know, as you do that, that I'm like, when can I get them back? And it came pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's fun, right? You know, and I think if you can put it out, you got to be able to take it. But I love that stuff. And what was there was one from last year too. Was it FlyQuest or someone? There, I can't remember, but someone we predicted incorrectly about in a standings made a video like that. That was a bunch of dive clips about us saying how they suck, basically, and then showing them winning.
I got it all the time with Clutch too, and I didn't believe in them. Like, they didn't want me to vote for them, and all those kinds of things. I love all those, like, little interactions.
We got to make some reverse ones, you know, where the team says they're going to do well in an interview and we say they're going to do bad. And then we just show all the interviews of them saying they're going to do well and we make a highlight video of their next. Yeah.
Because when Mark tweeted the Golden Guardians thing, I was like, ha ha ha. Oh, that's kind of mean. Also, yeah,
it was definitely probably a little much.
They just got shit on.
That's why I just heard the popcorn gif. I'm like, oh, I want to see if anyone's going to respond to this. I don't think Golden Guardians is also going to comment and retweet like you did for them, Mark, but it's just a guess.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, theirs was higher effort and more meme-y. Mine was like, rah!
Yeah. Yours was like, also, you suck ass, and I was right.
And I knew ahead of time, too, that you're just waiting until you are proven right. You're like, all right, I need
fingers on the go button.
Shit on really hard. And then you're like, now they can't say anything. Boom.
I mean, I feel like we put our money where our mouth was before when we called them 10th. So it's not like, you know, I predicted FlyQuest to win as well. I just had the tweet was the only thing I was sitting back on.
That's pretty funny. All right. Well, the other one coming up, obviously, FlyQuest versus TSM. We're coming off of those series. FlyQuest was definitely way more dominant in their series than TSM was, but TSM also had the harder opponent, right? TSM had the number 3 seed. FlyQuest was playing against the number 6 seed. So obviously, you know, lowest in playoffs. This one feels a lot, I think, kind of harder to predict. And it kind of feels like, okay, you're trying to see who's going to go up and play against EG.
Yeah, I think this is a super interesting series as well, because I know Bjergsen hates the whole meme between Power of Evil and him, but like, they do have a pretty storied history of playing against each other, and I'm excited for the next chapter when both of them are the reason that their teams are where they are. I think ultimately, you know, they both have teammates that are helping, but Power of Evil's the main carry of his team, and Bjergsen's the one that got them through that very tough 100 Thieves series.
Yeah, I mean, that's a story of playoffs moving forward. All of the teams, mid laners that we have that have made it through and move forward could be MVPs of their teams. And it's no different with this matchup. It's really cool that, like you're saying, they're both coming off of hard carrying their teams, you know, through these series. Power of Evil's carry performance was absolutely insane in their Golden Guardian series. Mm-hmm. His damage numbers were not just high damage numbers. They were 2x of professional averages for those champions' damage numbers. Like that, that's how big of a beating that was. He was like two mid laners on one team.
Yeah. I mean,
playing well.
The LeBlanc one was even way more than that. Cause I think we saw that the average was like,
it was over 1300.
Yeah. The average was 511 DPM for LeBlanc's in the four, you know, top four regions, right? So LEC, LPL, LCK, NA. And yeah, he did 1300 and something, right? Yep. That is just insane. Not a champion that I would ever guess could reach that level of DPM. And it wasn't even like it was a 60-minute game where your damage is so ramped up and he has Infernal Soul and all these things. You know, it's just like, it was a long-ish game, but oh my God.
Is that, I mean, has anyone checked if that's like the highest LeBlanc DPM game in pro?
It could be. I haven't actually checked on that, but we could ask stats.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to check that heading into next week because that was probably the most dominant performance we've seen in playoffs so far. But the other thing that really happened that interested me from that series was the top lane situation, where they finally started solo from the beginning. And shocker.
Like we've been telling them.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those ones where they've been very tight-lipped about their reasoning for it. And so we only can use the external data, and that heavily favors solo.
It is interesting, right? You know, I do think that iTest really favors solo. The stats seem to really favor solo. Even their record with him really favors solo. So it is surprising, you know, that they do keep going back to Viper. I would be absolutely shocked if it is not Viper the whole way through in this one. Solo. Excuse me. Had it reversed there. If it wasn't solo the whole way through in this one, unless maybe you get absolutely trashed the first two games, then you look for a sub or something like that. But, you know, solo did perform well, has looked better with the team, but clearly there's something else that Viper is bringing, whether it's just better team cohesion, better comms, better something that is making them feel like, hey, but we have to keep going back to him.
I'm just going to go back to Jizuke's interview right after that series every time, because, and especially versus TSM that have Broken Blade, you know, one of these teams that plays top carries. We just had him talking about how he's getting more used to asking for resources and trying to hard carry the team and playing that way. Jizuke, after the match versus FlyQuest, was like, yeah, the match was really easy until they put in solo. Then it got a lot more difficult because solo is playing the lane more aggressively. If you look at a lot of the setups for team fights, he also, solo had really good, you know, flank TPs sometimes. Mm-hmm. He had good just normal flank positioning without even teleport sometimes as well. So, you know, when your opponent basically gives you praise, I feel like that is the highest form of praise. You know, someone, especially someone that just beat you, speaks a lot to me and has a lot of credibility.
I mean, that you can feel the difference. It's not even his lane opponent. I think that is what is most impressive. It's not like, you know, you're at interviewing Kumo and Kumo's like, oh yeah, it was a lot tougher time in lane. It's like, it was so different that Jizuke was in a different lane. So
what is the top laner doing, bro? Yeah, down here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he can feel the pressure, and probably it showed in Kumo's comms and what Kumo was comfortable setting up and what they could actually look for on top side of map as far as Rift Herald plays and these types of things. So, you know, that is, I agree, a very high compliment.
So I think the only other matchup I'm really interested in is jungle. Okay. Or like that's the next one that I'd look at, because Dardoch was so hit or miss in the series they just played versus 100 Thieves. There are times,
really big misses,
where his Olaf is running over the game and he's 4-1, and then in the same game he is just chain dying and he's too far ahead of his team and then he's not anywhere near them. And it was so like whiplash almost between like he's winning them the game, he's losing them the game, kind of back and forth.
It was honestly alarming, some of those plays. You know, after the Gragas game, I was kind of just giving benefit of the doubt that, oh, okay, well, this is just a couple of misexecutions. Like, he's going to clean up for the next one, because I do think he has been way more consistent this split than he ever really has been. Well, I don't know if I want to say ever, but than he has been in general in the past. And, you know, that Gragas game where they have the big Rift Herald fight and he just drops his ult on his feet, missing everyone who's right in front of him. No one even flashed it or anything. He just misplaced it, right? That was a pretty big error. Obviously, you know, when you're talking about the Pantheon Olaf game, that one fight by Blue Buff, he's like a full screen ahead of his team dying, then gets caught out twice for trying to farm his wolves, knowing that the other team is around, you know, blowing his ultimate, his flash, dying. You know, these things are mistakes that you really just can't make at that level. And, you know, they cost their team a lot. Even in the Jarvan game, oftentimes was very far ahead of the team. And, you know, Bjergsen had to pull off a lot of heroics in that game five to kind of pull them back. So that was pretty concerning for me, because I do think that, you know, Dardoch, his success is largely tied to the success of the team. And I think for most of the year, he has been very good. And often when they're winning, it's Dardoch working super well with the solo lanes and bouncing around between top and mid and snowballing those lanes and working with Broken Blade and having great 2v2s. But when he is making big errors like that, it erases so much of the good work he gets done earlier on in the game.
I also was thinking a lot about the bottom lane. I know you talking about this was maybe the only other one you're interested in, but the bottom lane one is kind of big too. Even though for the FlyQuest one, it wasn't necessarily like, you know, a big shining star for them either. I think there were moments where we got to see some vintage turtle come out, you know, flashing forward with Zaya, mm-hmm. ulting forward and stuff like that. And then in the TSM ones, I was also like the Kalista bottom for TSM. I looked up Kabi's like all time Kalista stats after that, and it was already sub 50% with a lot of plays as well. It's not really the type of champion that I kind of put together with them as a player or how a lot of his teams have played. So I felt so much more comfortable when they had him back on Zaya or Varus, you know, and he's hitting these snipe shots. So I think there's definitely some flexibility in champion select games that are going to be really important for this, both these bottom lanes. Even though these bottom lanes have not been the highlights of their teams, it could be an area where one of the teams can get a big advantage in the game due to the matchup.
I would even hone in more as far as, you know, not even the bot lane as a whole, but the support role. I think that has been so big because to me, you know, when TSM is playing Zyra Khan, you know, this is kind of like their best stuff, right? It's now Barfrost is either 5-0, 6-0 on Rakan after that win, you know, undefeated on it. I think that's more about the Rakan than it is about the Zaya. I think that Biofrost is really, really good with his engages, and putting him on a champion where he can be proactive and make things happen for TSM looks great. And then also Ignar pulling out things, you know, like Pyke and you know, having the flexibility to bring out these champions. At the start of the split, I was so excited for this guy because it was like 8-10 games in a row with a unique champion pick to start things off. It felt like it cooled off towards
the end of the split. And no Fervor Leona yet.
No Fervor Leona.
Blitzcranks, though.
Maybe Conqueror Leona, you know?
Closest we got.
Yeah, Blitzcrank also. So he has a lot that he's bringing back out during playoffs that I think was kind of that early season spice, and maybe has more of a place in playoffs where it is best of five and you can kind of adjust for pick ban. But, you know, I think that is really exciting. And as long as we're talking about the bot lane, I've got to say I'm kind of just disappointed overall with Kabe's performance. I think that, you know, we were having this discussion on the analyst desk, and it was this idea of like, you know, what do you remember that this guy has done? It just feels like he's kind of just there, and he rarely is taking over in late game performances. He's rarely ever dominating in early game performances. Like he's not costing you the game, but he's never winning you the game either. And like, I've got to say, compared to how he played in ULCS, LEC, it has been very disappointing. I think that, you know, people were so excited about him coming in. I was less hot on him than I think a lot. You know, I kind of saw him as like, you know, going to be an easy slot in for what Zven did, which was play really well in late game and farm early game. And he has not done that. He has been worse than that. He's almost like, you know, Cody Sun without the upside of the dominant late game, right? Like he's just doesn't feel like he's delivering on the level that I expect from him because, and I know this sounds harsh, but it's because I have high expectations from what I have watched of him in Europe, where he was that monster who could take over a game. And I just can't remember anything he's done that has really been impressive. And that includes the series today where I thought he was, you know, mediocre.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was alluding to with Champions League for them as well, because it seems like both of the teams could get, or we would think would be able to get, a lot more out of both of their bottom lanes, because I have kind of like similar things for Turtle too. I have, you know, higher goals for what he can accomplish.
Yeah, I was on that train completely, and he did have a great series versus Golden Guardians, and he was able to show the Syndra and some other stuff, which I think adds a nice dimension to his game. But you need to see that against one of the higher tier opponents. You know, Golden Guardians, they had an incredible run to get into playoffs, but mm-hmm. I think they were a good deal weaker than the other teams in playoffs. So I want to see Turtle be able to step up. And like you're saying, I don't think Kabe is like this monster in the bot lane that you can't beat. He did do a good job in laning phase this time, getting CS advantages over Cody, but they often had the winning matchup. And so I thought his early games were good, but to your point, like I can't remember like big standout plays for the most part.
Let's do this, because I'm pretty interested now. You guys want to do just on the spot quick report card style thing where we usually do lane by lane, just look at head-to-head matchup just for this series?
Sure, just who and then you move got for on. The advantage
because,
for each role.
Yeah, because for me, all this talk about bottom lane with both of these two going together, and I'm going to include AD carry and support, bottom lane versus bottom lane, I do give it to FlyQuest.
Me too. I'm on FlyQuest side. I just think that, you know, both supports are really strong players. I think Ignar was second team, Biofrost was maybe third, something like that. Like mm-hmm. they were both up there. But I do think that, you know, Ignar has more flexibility as far as Biofrost, how good he is at his best, which is like their con. He's amazing. But Ignar has more different champions that he's willing to bring out and they have that impact on, I feel like. And I think Turtle has been better than Kabe.
As far as the champion thing, I think it's fine. I personally disagree because I feel like Biofrost has in the past shown a wide array. And sometimes if you haven't seen a lot of champions maybe recently, or if you haven't seen a lot even just this split, then maybe you can start to think, oh, he probably doesn't have a lot more to pull from. But him as a player, I'm thinking back and I'm just like, he played a bunch of mages. He played a lot of different styles. Mm-hmm. He played hard engage. He played defense.
Even if he's able to play them, though, if they're not willing to pick them, right? Yeah. Like it's more just like champions that have agency to make things happen. When like I think the Ignar will play the Rakan. I think the Ignar will play the Pyke, the Blitz, you know, the Thresh, these things. There's one Thresh pick for Biofrost. There's a bunch of Rakan, but likely Zaya Rakan, one or the other, will be banned out the whole series. I think that is going to happen. It was banned every game except game 5 here. And then, you know, we have a Taric pick, a Senna pick, a Yumi pick, a Braum game, you know, 3 Tahm Kench games, 3 Nautilus games. Nautilus is more aggressive, but it's not this like explosive playmaker in the same way that I think his Thresh can be and stuff. He did have 2 Leona games, so maybe there's some room there. But it feels like for the most part, that's not what TSM is putting him in a position to do, because they want to play around topside. So they're just picking these kind of like stable, tanky bot lanes and going elsewhere, right?
I would love if they busted out his Bard again too or something. Yeah. You know, you can play that as evidenced by C9 and stuff that and you can play whatever you want as long as you're competent enough on it. I just feel like
I thought you were gonna say as long as you're Cloud9.
No, competent enough.
I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
The problem is with TSM is like I don't have much confidence in them. And it feels like they are so focused on being able to play just a couple things right now. At a high level, which even that they're struggling to do, that I don't think that they're like, yeah, let's try throwing a wrinkle or two in at support. I think they're trying to simplify their game plan to the point that they're able to win these games.
All right, we're going to FlyQuest too then, Mark?
Yeah,
for bot lane?
FlyQuest, yeah.
We're going to do it reverse style since we started at bottom lane. We're moving up to mid lane, yeah. The classic, Power of Evil versus Bjergsen. These guys
We should do raise one hand at the same time. Left hand is FlyQuest. Right hand is TSM.
All right. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, what?
So podcast listeners, Kobe and I said FlyQuest. Azale said TSM.
You said left hand. This is my left hand. Left hand for FlyQuest.
You're reversed.
Am I reversed? This yeah. is okay. Well, this is yeah. my left hand. So I'm saying POE.
This way.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Well, this oh my is my God. Left hand.
From ours, it looks like they're all the same, but yeah, oh, it's reversed.
That's so weird. Okay. Well, yeah.
This is my right hand.
So oh, you're saying right TSM. Here?
Yeah.
So this was a horrible idea. This is absolutely.
I didn't realize it reversed it for you guys, but not for me.
So this is an absolutely terrible idea. Mark. So we're not doing the hand raising thing anymore. This is failed completely. But I said POE. Mark, you said POE too, right?
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Kobe said Bjergsen. So just to be clear, we could not have been less clear with that. But yeah, this one was hard for me because it's like my heart says Bjergsen because Bjergsen historically, I would Bjergsen a snap. But I do think that POE has just been better this year. I mean, this is the first time ever, I think, that Bjergsen wasn't in All-Pro. Jensen wasn't in All-Pro either. Those guys are just the perennial 1-2 in NA forever. But POE overall, I think, has been better this split and is also coming off of a super monster performance against Golden Guardians. Bjergsen, I also think, was great today. And that's what makes it hard to me. So I would just give this like ever so slightly to POE.
That was my favorite thing that we've done in a long time, Mark. Thank you. You got tears. I got tears in my eyes from that.
I'm just trying to make stuff happen. You know, I'm trying to have fun.
You miss all the shots you don't take.
Reversed? like a mirror?
Well, I knew that they would be reversed, but I thought they'd all be reversed the same way. You know, it's like when Kobe raised the same, what looks like the same hand as me, I thought, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I do think it is really close, and that's why it's so exciting. And we've kind of talked about how all the mid laners moving forward, like you have to have a really good mid laner moving up into playoffs. Power of Evil is coming off that super dominant performance. Again, it did feel like that series was a little bit punching down for me. So while you can blow everyone out of the water with these numbers, I'm super excited to see this classic matchup once again. And some of the just clutch saves, I think, for me is why I tipped it slightly in favor of Bjergsen, because in best of five series,
he was so good today.
That's one of the big things I do look for. Who can have that game saving, high pressure, game five play?
It feels weird because as I'm thinking through this, right, it feels like, you know, we're so heavy on FlyQuest. And then I'm like, is my individual player thing really lining up with what I think is going to happen in the series? Because I assume everyone's going to say Santorum for the most part too, right? I actually think Dardoch, I favored more during the regular split because I think that, you know, how explosive he can be. And I also had felt that he had eliminated a lot of his mistakes. So if I'm looking at regular season, I actually like Dardoch more than Santorin. But if I'm looking at the playoff series that was shown to me, I am very concerned with what Dardoch showed today. So, you know, I'm a little bit split on this one.
This is also making me realize the influences of recency bias, because during my vote for my All-Pro, I had Power of Evil in there above Bjergsen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
now I'm...
but that's natural, switching. Right? Because we're in playoffs. Best of fives can be a different beast. There is more pressure associated with it too, because you feel like your whole season is riding on this, especially because they're playing in the lower bracket. These are not the teams with the second life. Do any of you guys have Dardoch here, or is it a couple of Santorin?
It's after that last series, it's really hard, right? Yeah.
I think for Dardoch, I appreciate the like upside that he has in terms of just like raw take over the game potential, kind of like what he did with the Rek'Sai versus Meteos, where you know, he used the pressure of his lanes to actually go and basically win the game at level 3 with how much he controlled the topside jungle. But Santorin is one of the most like sturdy junglers in the LCS, I think.
Untiltable.
Yeah, like I'm trying to think of a better, like he's just like, he doesn't really ever fall out of the game and like get shut down. And so
sturdy.
He's sturdy. He's reliable.
He's a solid oak table there.
Yeah, he's a grizzled, I don't know, whatever. He's good. So I think those kinds of things won't be as easy for Dardoch to pull off, even if his lanes do have pressure around the top side of the map.
You're frozen, Mark.
Oh, no.
Sorry, you can keep talking, but I know this had happened to you earlier on the show. It looks like he's
about to pucker up here for a little kiss, too. Ooh, Mark.
I mean, we started with hugs. You know, it's a natural escalation. a little bit of cheek.
But I'm not sure. This is the video that we use, right? So that's what'll go on the episode.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Well, which is the only reason I mentioned it, so we can quickly restart and we get that fixed up.
There we go.
We're good.
All right. I hope that didn't break anything on our producer's side. But yeah, I think Dardoch, even if he has the pop-up potential, I think Santorin's hard to take advantage of. And then Santorin does not make the same mistakes that we have seen Dardoch making recently.
All right. Well, for top lane, then I'm definitely on the side of Broken Blade. While a lot of them were more of a question to me, especially Solo is obviously really, really good, but we still don't even know if he's for sure going to play the whole time. If it's Viper, it's not even close. I think I put Broken Blade by a mile. And even with Solo's stronger performances, I still like Broken Blade. And it's not even just about, you know, the individual play. It's about how TSM works with Broken Blade. I think that that is, you know, one of their greatest strengths when TSM is at their best. You know, and that's the thing for me is that it's like, even if I'm putting PoE slightly over Bjerg, I like how Bjerg works with the top side of the map more. And that is, you know, TSM's win condition. That is their way in, is playing through this. It's always been that. They almost never play through the bot side, it feels like now. So, you know, I'm really excited for this one because I think it should be pretty close.
Yeah, I think we all have Broken Blade for sure, right, Mark?
Yeah, and probably the biggest mismatch in the whole series, right?
And how TSM wants to play the game. So that works well for them. And that, I think, despite the fact that most of our like matchup by matchup stuff, it was all FlyQuest for the bot lane. It was 2 out of 3 for PoE, you know, for the mid lane. So it's, and then we have, you know, both you guys went on Santorin. I'm maybe a little bit more split just because I'm kind of hopeful that we'll get the dart off from the regular season, but still mostly on the side of FlyQuest in the individual matchups. So I'm curious where you guys see the series score going then, because yes, we think C9 is going to blow out EG. You know, that's maybe a 3-0 or a 3-1 that people are going to predict, but this one feels like it could be going either way.
Yeah. 3-2.
For who?
I heard I Will Dominate say that 3-1 predictions are weak. So 3-2.
For who?
Huh?
For who?
The 3-1 predictions in general.
No. What team are you predicting?
You just said that's
3-2. Yeah.
Oh. That's an even weaker prediction. You're like, 3-1 predictions are weak, so I'm not going to predict. I'm just going to say numbers. 3-2.
I predict it's going to be a great series.
I predict everyone will try their best and have a lot of fun. 3-2.
No, I was going to do a 3-2-4 TSM.
Okay.
All right, I'm 3-1 FlyQuest. I actually think, yes, they played a weaker opponent, but even in their loss versus EG, I felt like I actually saw things that I was happier about than in TSM. I think when TSM is playing well, as we've said all year, yes, they are incredible. And if they have a good series versus FlyQuest, they can easily win, and I could be totally wrong here, and it could even be a 3-0, but that series did not make me, I don't think I saw anything new out of TSM. Whereas when I watched the FlyQuest series against EG and against Golden Guardians, I was like, wow, they look really, really good. Their mid-jungle synergy is actually popping off this series against Shizuke and stuff. So, I felt like I saw improvements that I was happy to see out of FlyQuest. I felt like TSM looked like the same TSM that ended the regular season going 0-3.
We also have to remember, though, the TSM did win that series without a lot of their best picks that got banned out. And that was something that we weren't even sure that they could do, right? You know, Bjergsen never got to play Syndra, still had a great series, you know, without getting his Syndra that I think a lot of people were concerned about.
Still going
to
be banned versus FlyQuest.
And Kalista. Kalista was something new. It's interesting for me because I feel like my head is saying, TSM made too many mistakes today. FlyQuest would be a more solid team and they would take it, right? But my heart is saying that it's like, ooh, but TSM, when they're good, they're really good. And what if they could, you know, if they play at their best, you want there to be that team that you believe can challenge Cloud9, right? And my head and my heart say it's not FlyQuest. So, you know, well, I'm almost just hoping for like, you know, this TSM to perform at a level that I think that they can. Like, if they perform at their peak, then they could beat FlyQuest and who knows, maybe challenge C9 at the end of the road. That is, I think, a very big long shot. But I still think I'm going to go like a 3-2 TSM just because I think despite their mistakes, they're so good at their peak and I kind of want to see them move forward as a result.
This is like scratch tickets you guys are selling. Like, hey, if everything lines up, you can make $1 billion.
So it's also way easier if you're looking at the most recent series that we had for both of them to be like, oh yeah, FlyQuest, they're so solid, like an oak table or whatever the hell you said, Mark.
I didn't say any of that. You guys did.
Because
Mark speaks in soups, Kobe. What kind of soup are they?
He's definitely a soup lover. Yeah. Because, you know, they get this really strong series versus Golden Guardians, and that does make sense. But kind of like what Azale was alluding to, TSM is the only team that delivered Cloud9 a loss the whole year. And when you see, when you saw that game, you were like, I see it. You know, I see the vision. I see how this team is supposed to achieve greatness. But then the problem is kind of like we saw in this series today, the uncertainty and the scratcher aspect that Mark is bringing up.
I mean, it's the same team beat C9, but also lost to CLG, right?
Yeah. You know, it's 1 week apart.
You're never sure what you're going to get. It's a bit of a grab bag, right?
Me and Azale, you're
that's looking. Why it's interesting.
Yeah, me and Azale are risk-loving, and Mark is risk-averse, is what our predictions are. Mark is so risk-averse that he's predicting it 3-1, though.
I'm not risk-averse. I just see the red flags. It's like a sinking ship, and you're like, ooh, that would be great to go for a swim. I know.
Well, I mean, it would, because if the ship sinks, then you'll be in the water and you're going to have to swim.
So, Mark,
it's the Titanic.
The sinking ship is on fire, and it's actually better for it.
See, the fire will get put out if it sinks.
Dude, we're out of control with these metaphors.
Raise your hand depending on which metaphor you like more, right? Yeah. Left hand if you like Titanic.
Let me turn around first.
All right, get me on to the Twitter question.
Yeah, exactly. Get me out of here. Let's start filming this or that. Where's Jat? I do have Twitter questions. One of them was the Ryoma one, as I already touched on that earlier. Got another one. Do you think the mid lane matchup is favored toward FlyQuest, considering recent performance? We did also touch on that one. So we'll go with Oliver Vogler.
Well, you read that one. I'll search for another.
Okay. If you had to send three teams to Worlds off of what you have seen so far in playoffs and regular season and spring split, then which teams would you pick and why?
Cloud9 right. Three times.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, Cloud9, Cloud9 Academy? Do they need practice? No. Okay, so I go Cloud9 and EG for sure. I feel like, are you guys on board with that?
Yeah.
First two?
Yeah.
And then we just got to choose our third.
Which is whoever wins this best of five coming up.
There you go.
The other strategy I was thinking was, what if you send like CLG and TL? So we have C9, who's the only real contender right now, it looks
like. Where are you going with this?
And then we level up our bottom teams with the international experience.
Question. So we have to choose the teams, but are they going at the end of summer or are they going today?
I assumed it was like right now.
So because if I'm choosing three teams now to go at the end of summer, I actually probably would choose TL as my third team. I think I would send Cloud9, TL, and EG, just because I think that, you know, realistically, you know, if we're looking towards international competition, Cloud9 is the only team that I really have high hopes for right now. But EG, given 4 or 5 more months, given 4 or 5 months, maybe they can actually build back up to kind of what they had been in the past. And then maybe you want to send them as kind of that third team. But it says, if it's today, then
it says two Worlds. So we'll assume that Worlds is at Worlds time. I think
then TL is actually reasonable, right? It's not unreasonable to think that this team could get a lot better and be deserving of one of those.
Sounds like a man that stuck with Team Liquid stock all season long and ended up at the bottom.
Sounds like three men who have been stuck with that and ended up not first.
I got in later than both of you, so I was slightly less negative in my earnings. Actually,
I was Rob, so I don't care.
I was so slightly less negative that I was second place because everybody was so negative.
Yeah, including first place. First place was also negative.
Do you have a different third team to send, Mark?
Thieves,
you want to get in there?
No, if we're sending them from right now, I think we're all pretty much in agreement. I would maybe send FlyQuest over. Actually, no, I'd probably send TSM just for the upside.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't actually know if they're better, but you know, you want people who could have a little
bit of like scratcher, right? Yeah. They feel like why people were happy about sending Clutch as a third place team last year. Obviously that didn't work out, but it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, if you send a team that's maybe slightly better, but just kind of at this even level, you'd rather have the pop-off game for the upset potential over some big teams. And I think TSM would be more that. So if it's today, then yeah, it's C9, EG, TSM for me.
Yeah. So Mark would send TSM to Worlds, but would predict FlyQuest to win and be a better team. But he's not sending FlyQuest.
Yeah. True. Is that, you got a problem with that? What are you trying to say?
The police are coming to arrest you now.
I think it speaks for all of us right there. You're under arrest, my friend. Azale, did you get the last Twitter question?
I'm searching. I'm not finding any amazing ones here. Okay, we could do...
What about the one that's in the doc about Flash? You guys not care about that?
We've talked about Flash so many times on this show.
All right.
Okay, how about this one?
I'm a newbie. I'm a rookie
here. We can do this one. Was Second Infinity Edge on Broken Blade's Gangplank a viable build? Last Shadow tweeted that Leandry's was better. Thanks. This one is kind of interesting because it's one of those things, like, people talked about Leandry's for even Kai'Sa in the past. Like, would that be better, you know, as a late game buy? I think it really, again, it just depends on how you're playing out the fights. As far as, is double IE viable? Yes, it is viable. It is flat AD. You're getting the additional crit. A lot of top pro players do play that style. Leandry's can be pretty good, though, in conjunction with your ultimate, right? Your ultimate is magic damage. You're applying this slow for the amped burn, and you're mm-hmm. very easily stacking the madness passive with the ultimate. So I think it is arguable. It just depends on kind of, like, you know, are you looking for more the straight up one shot, which, to be fair, they had that one big barrel by the dragon where the extra AD and stuff is going to be that more upfront damage where it's like the barrel chain into the ult drop and wombo combo them? Or is it going to be a longer fight where you're trying to rot them down?
This is my exact answer, because it depends what you need in the game at the time. Leandry's is not a troll build for Gangplank because of the ultimate synergy. And the 10% is actually really easy to stack up and keep up on Gangplank because of the Gangplank's playstyle. You can actually get that up before the fight and utilize it pretty well. But what you are looking for in a lot of these scenarios is not, oh, a big AoE slow field to soften them up, get the burn damage to whittle them all a little bit down. What you're looking for is the double Infinity Edge, higher chance of getting that crit to get a barrel explosion that one-shots the enemy backline or one-shots a carry and takes someone out of the fight that late into the game, in my opinion. And that's why we see it, I think, a lot in pro play.
Yeah, I'm looking at, like, the, you know, Powder Keg also, the E has the armor pen. It has 40% armor pen built into it, which gets a lot of people pretty low in the armor percent, or lower in the armor. So you're losing a lot of AD to get a burn for the most part because the AP is not going to apply at all. And I just can't see that being more damage, like you're saying, in burst situations. The alt, yeah, like you're saying, is really the only thing. But, like, yeah. GP also, you know, we're just landing a Q, landing autos in a fight. If GP doesn't die at the start of the fight, it's not too uncommon to see him, like, hoofing it, chasing people down at the end of a fight. And having extra crit chance on your Q to actually finish people off and stuff will be super big. And there's also his trial by fire also has a AD ratio on it. That ends up being true damage as well. So I think there's too much AD scaling in his kit.
Yeah. I mean, so like I was talking about, the only scenario I think that you do want the AP build for it is if your team is built around, they don't have a lot of regeneration or anything. You get this slow, that lines up a skill shot for somebody. You poke them down, you get a kill that way.
Or against a bunch of tanks. If you're playing maybe against, like,
Sejuani,
Nautilus frontline or something, that sounds pretty good.
If it's a fat meatball comp that you're going up against and you're going to have really long extended fights, I could see the alt with that on being pretty good.
I got one final question here. What is more likely? This one's from Dan Errol. He says, what is more likely? TL regrouping and winning summer or Travis letting Kobe have a cat?
I'm going to say Travis letting Kobe have a cat because that better happen.
What was that? I saw another letter forming on here. On
better freaking happen, Travis. That
better happen.
just bring one home. What is he going to do?
Yeah, true. At this point, everyone supports you.
I would have to first go to our apartment manager. And I don't know if Travis would stoop as low to, like, report me to them or something if I brought a cat home. He would be like, evict this month.
Yeah. I mean, just have it in the room after like a week, like, and then there's like weird squatting laws in California or something. Just try and apply them to your cat.
Good idea. Will you be my squatting lawyer,
Marco? No, I don't know any actual law.
When I run into trouble. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Dive. Thank you very much for joining us on this midweek, playoffs still going on, by the way. Please tune in this weekend. We're going to continue at Cloud9 versus Evil Geniuses and FlyQuest versus
also, Dive next week, also Wednesday. It is going to be on a Wednesday again too, so different day again next week. Sorry we didn't tell you about this one this week. Didn't know until it was happening.
We're keeping you on your toes. Only real fans, only real ones saw this one. You a real one if you're watching this.
True.
Wait. All right, see ya.
Bye.